Dear listeners, Sai Ram. We now bring you Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today's episode was first aired on the 16th of June 2016 as part of Thursday Live programs on Asia Stream of Radio Sai. This program is hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu.
Let us offer our reverential and prayerful salutations at the lotus feet of our most merciful, beautiful Lord. Dearest Swami, please bless us so that every moment of our lives we strive to sanctify every thought, word and deed, so that everything that we think is linked to you, every act that we do is linked to you, every deed that we undertake is done only to please you. Let our life become a journey from I to you and you alone. With this prayer, welcome dear listeners to the last episode in this series on Satya Sai Aarati in Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. 5 weeks ago, we started this special series on the Satya Sai Aarati because we felt that the Aarati is such an integral part of every bhajan session, and it is very vital for us to know what the Aarati connotes. It is very important for us to sing it with clarity, sing it with right pronunciation, and sing it with complete understanding of what it conveys. And so in the last 5 episodes, we have been spending time discussing the meaning of its every word, discussing what is it that we should be doing as we sing this. We have been dwelling on the inner significance of its tune, of its words, and the bhava that is latent in this powerful composition which Bhagwan has given to all of us to sing in every bhajan session. And today we have come to the last episode on the Satya Sai Aarati, and today we take up the last few lines of this sacred composition. So let's listen to Brother Ravi Kumar sing to us the way the Aarti concludes.
Narayana, Narayana, Om, Satya, Narayana, 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 Om. Om, Jai, Sadguru, Deva. The Mangala Aarti is sung in the scale C sharp, Madhyam.
Narayana Narayana Om, Satya Narayana 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 Om. Narayana Narayana Om, Satya Narayana Narayana Om, Satya Narayana Narayana Om. Om Jai Sadguru Deva.
Dear listeners, those of you who are keen students of music, we have discussed about the raga and the tune and the rhythm of the Aarti in the first episode of the Satya Sai Aarti 5 weeks ago. Please do refer to that episode if you wish to know the notes and the scale and the chords of the Satya Sai Aarti. Brother Anirudh has given us a detailed explanation of the technicalities of this sacred song. And now let's move on to the discussion with Brother Amey Deshpande on what these words connote. In every episode of the Satya Sai Aarti, we have concentrated on one stanza and discussed to whatever extent we can what it connotes and what is the meaning behind the Sanskrit and the Telugu words that make the Aarti. And today, we spend time dwelling on the last few words of the Satya Sai Aarti. Sai Ram, Brother Amey, and welcome once again to this special episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom.
Sai Ram, Brother Bishu.
It's been a very beautiful, enriching journey dwelling on the Aarti, and we have done all these stanzas, and we have now come to the last part of the Aarti, which is sung in 3 variations of rhythm. Narayana, Narayana, Om. So, you have this word Narayana, which comes so many times in this last stanza. So what are your thoughts on Narayana? What comes to your mind, you know, when this stanza is being sung as the aarti concludes.
Yeah, so Narayana means, as every other word in Sanskrit, has several different meanings.
Yes.
So one should not just limit Narayana just to that four chaturbhuja dhari, or
the form of Vishnu.
The form of Vishnu, either sleeping or standing, or while that would be one way of looking at it, because that itself has so much significance and power, etc. Really. So Veda Vyasa in Mahabharata, and more so in Vishnu Sahasranama, has actually explained what are the different meanings of this word Narayana. So very, very simply, Nara means man, and Ayana means shelter. So the one who is a shelter, so that he is Narayana. So for that matter, Narayana can be everybody, all gods, and the one, supreme one is Narayana. Why is it Narayana and not Narayana? Because Nara also means a group of people. So it's all the individuals put together. So Nara is one, and Nara is many. And so and Ayana also means soul. So the soul which is there, the single soul which is there in all the beings, that is also Narayana. Nara also means knowledge, and Ayana is again shelter. So the one who is a repository or the shelter of all knowledge. Nara also actually means water, right? And so this actually, and the one who is resting on water, and probably this refers to the beautiful form of the little Lord Krishna, which was again very symbolic of, he is sucking the thumb, which was seen by sage Markandeya, Vatapatra Shahi. He is the one who was sleeping, resting on a leaf which was on the water. So that also has again a very deep significance, which is very similar to Nagendra Shayana, the one who is resting on, on the water of our calm minds. Only when our mind is calm will we be able to allow him to rest. So this way there are so many different meanings of the word Narayana itself, and several, great sages and intellectuals over the years have split this word into several different ways and given us deeper insights. So one could actually do more research and find out what are the different meanings, possibly the reason why it is said so many times. Yes. Narayana, Narayana, Om Satya, Narayana, Narayana, Om. Yeah. So that we can look at all of these different meanings and try to match the following kind of.
Yes.
And I guess that the simplest understanding of Narayana, Narayana would be to chant the name of the Lord.
Yes.
Because again, bhajan is namasmarana. And so Swami possibly wanted, all of us to do that namasmarana at the end of the aarti.
Yes. You have described the attributes in the earlier stanzas.
Yes.
But ultimately, what is needed is just namasmarana.
Just namasmarana. Simple, take one name and keep chanting it over and over again. And it's almost like, it should be like something that it should continue even beyond the aarti.
Yes.
So aarti actually gets over at Mangala Aarti Anduko.
Anduko, yeah. Right? You have mentioned that. Please accept.
Please accept the aarti. So with that, actually the aarti is over. This is like the trailer. So the comet is gone. Every comet has a tail.
Yes.
Right. And the tail, in fact, goes for several hundreds of thousands of kilometers.
Yes.
Behind it.
Yes.
So I think it's more like this, the trailing effect of the whole bhajan session, which is to keep reminding ourselves of Narayana over and over again, the Lord. And let it not just end with, the bhajan session, and then we get up and act as if nothing has happened and go back very seamlessly, attach ourselves into the world again.
Hmm.
So I think this was Swami's way of saying that, let this name continue to be with you, for the rest of the day.
Yeah. In fact, what I just got reminded also is how on one occasion in the portico, Swami created this Narayana necklace.
Yes.
Brother Sudhindran was there,
correct.
He was chanting.
In one of the discourses, he did it.
Yes. Yeah. He asked him to chant the Narayana Suktam, and then he created this Narayana necklace.
Yes.
That was again a very profound moment. And I remember another senior brother of ours narrating that, you mentioned about that the Lord being on the Vatapatra. That is one imagery. The other imagery that you have of Narayana is the Narayana on the Kshirasagara.
Correct. Nagendra Shayana.
Nagendra Shayana. And, that brother very beautifully said, what is that ocean?
it is the ocean of our Ananda Bhaspam.
Oh.
In intense love for the Lord, you know, all those tears that we said, that come out of our beings in praise of the Lord, in the bliss of the Lord, in chanting the name of the Lord, in experiencing the ecstasy of the Lord, all that Ananda Bhaspam that comes out, that is the ocean on which the Lord rests.
Kya baat, beautiful, yes.
That is the ocean on which Narayana rests. That is the ocean of milk. That is the ocean of nectar. Because, you know, what comes out of our eyes at that point is not the normal water. It is actually nectar because, you know, you are in bliss.
Yes, it's pure, pure.
It's pure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it is, you know, we are now, after having described the Lord, you know, this Aarti is all about the vision of the Lord, you know. We described that right from the first stanza. So, now you have seen the Lord, you know. Because, as you mentioned, Aarti is over. You know, the priest has waved the light. So you have actually seen the Lord and now you're in ecstasy.
Correct.
You're in ecstasy and you know, it is the ecstasy of so many people, which is that ocean on which the Lord rests. And yes. You know, you are lost and that's why if you see, and this one, the rhythm picks up and you are actually lost, isn't it? You're in that ecstatic mode as the Aarti ends, it really goes up to that crescendo.
The crescendo, yeah. And I remember towards the end, Swami himself, you know, those were the days in Prashantanilayam when Swami would actually use this time to walk back to his room, you know. But towards the end...
I think that is very... I'm sorry to pause, but that is again so significant, you know. After this third stanza, Swami would start walking back. It's like the Aarti is over.
Aarti is over.
He will use this Narayana time to still give darshan and, you know, return to
Yes, him. Yes. And we actually should keep that darshan in our minds as we leave Kulwant Hall or leave the darshan grounds.
Yes.
But coming back to this, why I was mentioning about the Narayana part was as you know Swami would use this moment to go back, but towards the end, you know, 2009 onwards, 2008, yes. When the bhajans moved outside,
yes.
Swami would actually sit through the entire Aarti,
exactly.
And he would be putting this taal you know on his thighs, he would be gently putting the rhythm,
yes.
And it was a sight really to see you know, and at the end of it when we would say Om Shanti, he would bless. So, I think those are the kind of magical moments that we need to create in our minds.
Correct.
When this Narayana is going on.
Yes.
Because otherwise it could mean, it could become a very mechanical thing.
Yes.
You know, just chanting for, but if you are able to keep that in our, and that's really what, that way we are very lucky because we are in Prashantanilayam, we are able to recreate, you know, or the whole setting. We just have to put Swami into that and the whole setting is already there.
Yes.
So, so I think that's also another you know moment of meditation that we can do during this Narayana time.
Yes.
Of course, there is one other word which is very significant, which is Sadguru.
Sadguru, yes, it ends with that.
Yeah.
Sadguru Deva.
Sadguru Deva. And I think this is a very significant thing. Probably in no other Aarti is, you know, he is venerated in several different ways, but ultimately we are also. It's like a pledge that we are making that we are your disciples.
Exactly.
We are not just your devotees.
Yes.
And a disciple is much closer to the master than a devotee.
And more serious about following the footsteps of the master.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's why I said closer.
Yes.
Because Swami himself said that the best relationship that you can have with me is not that of a devotee, but that of a disciple.
Exactly.
So here actually we are reiterating that fact that Swami, Not only are you the cosmic, the omniscient and the super powerful, etc., but you're also my guru. Yes. I have taken you to be my guru.
Yes.
My Sadguru.
My Sadguru.
Yeah. And here I would just like to read out, you know, something which is, what is the difference between, you know, a guru and a Sadguru as written in Shirdi Sai Satcharita, in which actually Shirdi Baba himself gives the, who is a Sadguru? So just give me, you know, he says, Sadguru's mere glance bestows peace and happiness. You know, while he says a guru is someone who gives mantras to disciples and orders them to chant it in a certain number of times but does not assure them any result. Whereas a Sadguru's mere glance bestows peace and happiness. He himself is the abode of peace. Prashanti, you know, he is never restless. He has no pride of his learning. The poor and the rich, the small and the great are the same to him. Sadguru cannot be compared with even the Chintamani jewel or the Kalpataru, because these are things which give us what we desire. But the Sadguru gives us what is good for us.
Yes.
And above all, he is the only one capable of giving us the most precious thing, which is Atmajnana. Right? So we go to so many gurus seeking X, Y, and Z. And we even come to Bhagwan. Most of us begin our journeys to Bhagwan with some kind of, you know, either we come for education, we come for health, or then we come for little more complex things like relationships or, jobs and prosperity, etc., etc. But the Sadguru is capable of not only giving all of this, but he is the only one capable of giving us the ultimate.
Ultimate.
Which is Atmajnana.
And I think the earlier stanzas, even though we have described him as Mata, Pita, Guru, you know, it finally ends with Sadguru, just to say that even though he plays the role of sometimes a Mata, a Pita, a friend, a beloved, or whatever, but the underlying thing is he's always being a Sadguru.
Absolutely. In fact, that's what he said, no, that the best relationship that you can have with him is that of a master disciple. And then as a master, he will do all the things for you.
Yes.
You know, he may become your friend, he may be your brother, sister, etc., all of that. But fundamentally, he is.
Yes.
And the reason why Swami said that that's the best relationship is that's the only non-contractual relationship, or there's no agreement there. See, between a mother and a son, again, it is blood. Blood relationship is there.
Yes.
Between a father and son. You know, between a husband and wife, there's again a contractual relationship.
Yes.
Right? But whereas between a disciple and a master, there's no conditions.
Yes.
No conditions apply. Even between two friends, you know, there is always some kind of conditionality. Whereas between a master and a master accepts a disciple for whatever he is.
Unconditional. And he is for unconditional welfare of the disciple.
Yes. Yes. Yoga kshemam.
That's
the total kshema of the disciple. So that is why also he is a Sadguru.
I think that is very important. I think this is something that, you know, as we end the arati, if you all the time feel that whatever is happening to my life, or whatever has happened to my life, whatever is going to happen to my life, it is for my good, because the Lord is playing these different roles. Whatever is happening, sometime I receive something very beautiful in my life. Okay, he's been like a friend. God has, you know, been like a friend to me. Sometimes I receive something which is very harsh. Maybe the Lord has been like a disciplinarian and a father with me.
Correct.
You know? So that could be all kind of experiences that we get in life, in our everyday circumstances. But I think if in the end, if you just think that, okay, whatever has happened is happening for my good, because he is the Sadguru.
Yeah. One more very beautiful thing that I heard is, they say that the biggest treachery that one can do is treachery towards the master.
Yes.
It's called Guru Droha. So amongst all the Drohas, the Desha Droha, okay, Mata Pita Droha, Guru Droha is supposed to be the most, the biggest of the sin. So when I actually heard it, no, and the treachery is not to be obedient towards your master is the biggest droha that you can do. The moment I heard this, actually my heart sank, because I've rarely listened to, means I've only heard him. I've really not listened and, you know, obeyed him in toto. But, you know, Shirdi Baba again says a very beautiful thing, which was so comforting, and only Sadguru can say like this. He said that that is the difference between Guru Droha. Because for Sadguru, there cannot be any droha, because Sadguru has the power. The moment he tells you to do something, he also ensures that you do it. So when he says, be a good boy, okay, he also sees to it that I become a good boy.
Yes.
I just have to surrender myself to him. I don't have to do anything to achieve that. Swami, so how many times has he told, you know, my boys or my students are Gunavan to do and Valavan to do and... So whenever he used to say that, I used to say, Swami, you have no idea what we are actually, you know, what is our true form. Okay. But here is a Sadguru telling us he wants us to be this.
Yes.
He also ensures that we will become this.
Yes.
Which is like a bonanza, isn't it? Yes. What bigger bonanza can be there than that?
Because the moment he says that, he can put into us those capabilities.
Exactly.
He can fill us with those capabilities, and he knows how to put us on the path so that we use those capabilities to achieve that.
Correct. To take us on the path to, and to see that, to it that we reach the goal also.
The goal, yeah. Because he has absolute control on us, on the path and the goal.
Yes, yes.
And I think that is what ultimately meditation is all about, right? You become one. The meditator, the meditation and the
object of
object of meditation, everything becomes one.
One, you know, yes.
At the feet. Oh.
So it's actually a great, blanket check that, blank check that he has given. It's a beautiful thing to be under the shelter of a Sadguru.
Yes.
And we're so lucky to have him in our lives.
Yes. Amazing. And I think, it ends. So by the time this Sadguru Deva happens, everything is cooled down. The crescendo has come down and, so now you are actually in a state of Advaita, you are completely in that oneness.
You can be in different states.
States.
You can be in the state of Advaita. You can be in the state of just supreme gratitude.
Supreme gratitude.
Because when you're saying, Om Jai Sadguru Deva. So I'm so happy that Swami, you are in my life.
Yes.
Because otherwise, where would my life be,
Yes.
So you can do a quick rewind of your life and see. But for him, where we would have been.
So this sublime state of either Dvaita, Visishta Advaita or Advaita. He can be in any of them. But you will be in bliss.
Bliss. That is assured.
Assured. And I think before we end, I just want to also add that one last thing. Again, very, very, very important. You know, it occurred to me when you were mentioning how Swami used to sit through towards the end of, in 2009 onwards. I remember, even though the aarti is over, Swami used to wait for Samastha Loka Sukhino Bhavan.
Oh, yes.
He used to chant it also.
Chant it along.
He used to chant it. I think that is again such a profound moment for each one of us in every bhajan session.
Correct. In fact, it is said that when you constantly think of something, it finally materializes. And Swami gave us something like this Samastha Loka to think about. So I often used to think that, see, we are passing out such positive vibrations to the entire world. Surely there will be peace on earth.
Hmm.
Okay. Because so many of us are chanting around the world, Samastha Loka. And if we truly believe that definitely it will be Sukhino Bhavantu, there will be peace in this world. And then when Swami used to chant it, I was thinking, my God, what a booster package that the cosmic will is also willing that Sukhino Bhavantu, let there be Sukha in the all. So that used to be a very powerful moment for me because I used to feel that, mine is like a little battery, which is charging. And so, maybe 10,000 of us, little more Sukha, 20,000 of us, little more Sukha. But then add to that one booster package, which is 10 times more powerful than all of us put together. The Lord himself telling. Means, just imagine, nothing that comes out of his mouth can go, can go futile in vain. Just imagine, he is also saying, Samastha Loka Sukhino Bhavantu, which means it has to happen. It's Vajra Sankalpa now. So I used to, nice moment because I used to say, now actually even if I don't chant, no problem because he's chanting.
He's chanting, so it is going to happen.
It's going to happen.
I think we should end every aarti on that positive note.
Yes.
If we visualize that, Bhagwan sitting there and chanting, Samastha Loka Sukhino Bhavantu. So we should get up from aarti in absolute bliss, absolute positivity.
Yes.
That
we convinced
that, the world is at peace. First, if we are at peace, the world is going to see peace. And the world will be at peace.
Yes.
And we should get up with that feeling of peace.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And of course, the three Samastha Lokas stand for, again, our body, mind and soul.
Yes. At every level.
At every level. Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thank you, brother.
I think it's been such a amazing, enriching journey.
I remember there was one more point that you were mentioning about Satyanarayana.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, Satyanarayana is the name of Bhagwan Chattisai Baba. And so the journey of the avatar is from Satyanarayana to Sai Baba to actually the Sadguru that he is for all of us. And I think that is again something to think about, that we have to finally reach that stage where we adore Bhagwan as not Satyanarayana, as that miracle person, who does all these fantastic things and we get enamored, or that Sai Baba who gave discourses, or that Swami to whom we come to whenever we have a problem. But ultimately we should know that he is the Sadguru. I think when that understanding comes, then we are always at peace.
Correct.
And that is perhaps ultimately everything should lead to peace. Bhakti should lead to shanti. Otherwise, yes, there is no point of bhakti. So, and the aarti is a very beautiful journey from bhakti to shanti. Amazing. Thank you so much, Brother Amay.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother. Sai Ram.
So that was Brother Amay Deshpande, a former student of Bhagwan's University and a member of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group, a gifted singer and musician. Brother Amay Deshpande has been singing in the divine presence of Bhagwan for nearly 2 decades now. He is currently a faculty member in the Department of Management and Commerce in Prashanti Nilayam campus of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. Dear listeners, we have done what we can in the last 5 episodes trying to discuss the meaning and the significance of the Satya Sai Aarti, and I know what we have done is still a drop in the ocean, because the Aarti is such an important composition and every person can relate to it in his own way. Every person can derive new meanings out of it when you think about it, because it is all based on Sanskrit. Sanskrit is such a pregnant language, such a powerful language, and every person definitely can derive so much more from its meaning and its tune. So do share with us your thoughts on the Aarti. Tell us your reflections and insights which we can share with the members of the Sai family. It is only when we share and care, we grow and we help each other out in this beautiful journey. The journey from I to we to he. And before we conclude this special session, let's listen to the Aarti once again and sing it with all devotion, with all sincerity and with all understanding of what it connotes.
Om Jai Jagadish Hare, Sai Satya Sai Hare, Bhakta Jana Sangrachaka, Bhakta Jana Sangrachaka, Pati Maheshwara, Om Jai Jagadish Hare. Shiva Jana Sivitara, Sarva Jayapati, Swami Sarva Jayapati, Ashrita Kalupana Jita, Ashrita Kalupana Jita, Aparva Jaya, Om Jai Jagadish Hare. Pita Guru Devaku Mariyam Tayu Dive, Swami Mariyam Tayu Dive, Nāya Brahma Jagatātha, Nāya Brahma Jagatātha, Kavye Tajayata, Kunde Jagadish Hare. Saya Rupa Jasmi Sai Mahadeva, Satya Sai Mahadeva, Mangalarti Ambuka, 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 Mangalarti Narayana 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 Narayana
साई बाबा जी की जय।
With that, dear listeners, we have come to the end of this special series on the Satya Sai Aarti in Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Last six episodes have been very fruitful episodes where we have been spending time discussing the meaning of this most important part of every bhajan session, the integral part of any Sai Bhajan session anywhere in the world. We hope many of you found it useful and beneficial. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org if you have any thoughts, any feedback, any comments. The audio engineers for this program are Sunil and Abhishek, and the background score was done by another alumnus from Chennai, T.S. Ramakrishnan. With heart full of gratitude, we offer this endeavor at the lotus feet of our most beautiful, merciful Lord.
You were listening to an episode of our program Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. This episode was first aired on the 16th of June 2016 as part of Thursday Live from Prashantinilayam on Asia Stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. This program was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Thank you and Sai Ram.